What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. Ryan Lombardi and the head coach of the Bonnies, head coach Jason Rathbun. Coach, you guys get it done. Clean sweep of Rhode Island this weekend, and then, you know, have a little tie in the midweek game. But what a weekend it was for your guys and the St. Bonaventure Baseball program.
Yeah, you know, welcoming the defending A-10 champs to town at our ballpark. You know, we had to dance around some weather a little bit. So we had to, you know, we had to play two on Friday just to try to squeeze in the whole series for the weekend. And, yeah, boys played great. I mean, we've played really well at home. It's definitely been an advantage for us. I think at this point we're 7-1 at home. So we've played really well at home and beaten some good teams. You know, took the series against George Washington at home. They went out and swept VCU this weekend, who was one of the better teams in our conference. So, you know, we know that 1 through 12, everyone in the A-10 is good. You know, so we knew we had our hands full with Rhode Island this weekend, and they're in the mix. And, you know, guys played great. It was really good to see us win some close games and get a sweep.
Yeah, let's dive into it. Let's talk about game one, because you guys take it 7-4. Once again, another master class. This is back-to-back home starts for David James, where he throws a complete game.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think he was great last weekend against Davidson. I thought he bounced back well here at home. Again, a lot of travel last weekend. Just being at home, I think, is a big plus for David. Keeping him out of the bus with that long, lanky body is a good thing. You know, we went out in the ninth. We thought about taking him out. You know, he was around 100 pitches or so. It's one of the first times I've went out to, you know, take him out, and he hasn't been like, you know, I'm done. Like, I'm gassed. Like, he actually wanted it. He's like, I got enough to keep going. Like, I can finish this. You could tell his stuff was flattening out a little bit. He gave up a couple solo jacks there in the ninth, but had enough left in the tank to finish it off and, you know, kind of reserve some of our pitching, which we needed for game two. So
that's got to be the best feeling as a coach, you know. Game one, your starter goes out and preserves the entire bullpen when you have two more big-time games, must-win games almost for you guys, and your pitcher can go out and throw nine innings like that.
Yeah, and I think just going out and establishing yourself game one as a team that's ready to play, ready to compete, and ready to win, you know, and to get a CG like that is huge for our guys. It definitely picks everybody up and puts us in a good position to finish out a weekend.
And let's talk about game two on Friday. You guys win a barn burner, 15-13, and that's where, you know, like you mentioned, that nine-inning performance from DJ was that much more important when you had to use four different pitchers to kind of piece together this absolute offensive explosion of a game.
Yeah, and four good pitchers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we used Enger, who's started for us all year, Nolan, who has started for us all year. We moved him to the bullpen and kind of piggybacked those two together and had to use Capolupo and then, you know, had to use Joey late to kind of close it out. But we did. We had to use four good arms to try to stop all the runs getting scored. It was a good hitting day weather-wise. So, you know, you saw the ball flying out of the ballpark a little bit. But, you know, our guys were right there. You know, we scored first to take the 2-0 lead. They responded in the second with four. Then they got two more in the top of the third. So, I mean, it was 6-2 in the third. Our guys responded with a big bottom of the third with five runs. And, you know, they came back two innings later in the fifth and scored four more. You know, and it's like, oh, my God, now it's, you know, 10-7, and then we, in the bottom of the fifth, we scored five. So we did a really good job in this game of answering, right? Like, they go out, put a crooked number on the board. We respond in the bottom of the inning with a crooked number of our own to try to just keep that, to keep the game close and to keep the lead and kind of stay in the driver's seat position. But great, great two games for Joey Calabretti for sure.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to point out is the job by your pitchers just to kind of keep filling up the strike zone, but also your hitters. Your hitters worked 13 walks at the plate. Pitchers only allowed three walks. And I really think that was the difference maker, because then you look at the hits column. Rhode Island had eight more hits than you guys.
Yeah, it's the free passes. I mean, we had 3 hit by pitches and 13 walks. So, I mean, that's 16 free passes they gave us, you know, which contributed a lot to those runs. And, you know, Enger walked 3 early, but we didn't have a walk after the 3rd inning. So, you know, it's a pretty good performance by our guys throwing strikes and filling up the zone.
Talk to me a little bit about Nolan. You know, he was that kind of game 2 starter for you guys most of the season. And then you guys work him out of the bullpen in game 2 this weekend. What was that thought process like? And then obviously he started yesterday against Niagara.
I think Nolan is a guy that we have a lot of high hopes for, and we believe in his stuff. He's just really had some bad luck and some bad breaks when he started. Some of it's self-inflicted for sure. You know, he's made a couple errors himself that have hurt him. And it's just been it's been tough to kind of stop the bleeding. It's like once it happens, he's had a tough time kind of putting an end to it and not allowing a big inning to happen. So we thought maybe taking the pressure off of him a little bit from starting. And, you know, as a starter, you want to go out there and give your team 6-7 innings. So you're thinking long-term game instead of short-term as a reliever. So as a reliever, you can just kind of like, all right, let's get one inning at a time. And I thought, you know, moving him to the bullpen, kind of relieving some of that pressure and just finding our spots to use him could benefit him in this learning curve. I think it's something similar to what we did with DJ last year. You know, DJ started a lot of the games for us, was having trouble getting deep into games. So we decided to move him to the bullpen late in the year, and he was really good in that role and gained some confidence, which I think led to him coming back this year and having a big year. I think the same can be said for Enger and Nolan. You know, I think those are two guys that have had a lot of starts. They haven't been able to go real deep, but they're gaining a lot of experience. I mean, Nolan, you know, came from a junior college, but he wasn't one of the top 3 guys. So it's, I mean, he only had 21 innings last year. And his freshman year, he didn't have many at all. So, you know, there's just not a lot of college innings on him. And, you know, we're able to provide that for him now. And the same thing with Enger, being a hitter that's, you know, changed to a pitcher and worked out of the bullpen last year as a junior college kid. Like, he doesn't have a lot of innings either. So we're hoping the investment in them this year, even though we're not, you know, they've had moments where they've been great. So, you know, we've seen flashes, but I think to put together a complete season, kind of like DJ has, you know, it's kind of the learning process and learning trial by fire a little bit.
Let's talk about the hero of game 2, and that's, you know, he got the Bonnie belt. That's Joey Calabretti. Goes 3-for-5 at the plate, 5 runs batted in, also was hit by a pitch, his 12th of the season. He is now tied with the associate head coach, BJ Salerno, for most hit by pitches in a single season. He now ranks 3rd, I believe, on that list. No, 5th on that list, but he's moving his way up. What a game. And he also closed out the game 2 innings of shutout ball on the mound.
Yeah. I mean, just a great day for him. If when Joey performs like that as a team, we tend to play a little better. He's been really good in conference. He wasn't great at the beginning of the year. And I think some of that's just from lack of playing, in his previous stop. So, you know, we've stuck with him and went through the hard times, and he's developed, he's getting better, and he's been great in conference. I think out of his 8 home runs, 6 of them have been in conference. So, you know, he's really been on fire for us and was really good on Friday and carried us. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, he had 2 home runs on the day and, you know, then locked down a 2-inning save for us in a day where runs were plentiful.
He also had a diving catch in the outfield. Yep. Just unreal day for the kid.
Yeah. So, you know, he's learning. He's getting better, getting more comfortable, and when he's locked in and he's seeing the ball well, he's a difference maker.
And then let's move on to game 3, which took place on Saturday. You guys take it by a score of 5-4, and that was a very back and forth game. You know, you guys score, they score, you guys score, they score, and ultimately you guys were able to cap it off. And some big time outings on the mound from Derek Duvall, Joey Calabretti again with his 2nd save of the year, 2nd save of the weekend, and ultimately you guys are able to take that game.
Yeah, baseball's a funny game, man. Like, you know, Derek had a really tough time in Davidson the weekend before, and, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, nobody's hurting more than him, right? Like, he didn't want that game to go the way that it did down in Davidson, and, you know, he was able to bounce back this weekend and give us three really good innings out of the bullpen. I mean, he only allowed two hits and walked one out of the bullpen, you know, in that game. So Derek was great and gave us a chance to win. And I asked Joey before the game on Saturday, I said, you know, how you feeling, man? Like, in the sense of, like, can you play left field? You know, are you good to hit? And his response to me was, I've got an inning today if you need it. So it wasn't really what I was looking for, but it definitely put that thought in the back of my mind. Like, well, if he's got one inning with him and we got a lead, I'm not going to be scared to go to him because I know he's tough and I know he wants the ball. And I wish we would have probably given it to him at Davidson the weekend before, but it was just, you know, I think the weather was so hot down there and, you know, guys were pretty fatigued. And I don't know if we would have had the same kid on the mound that we had this weekend down in Davidson because of that. But he felt like he had enough left in the tank to go get us a save, and it was dicey.
Yeah, I was going to say, it got a little dicey.
Yeah, it was dicey. We got to, you know, thankfully the umpires made the right call.
Can you walk me through that whole thing? Because watching at home, I didn't get the explanation I was looking for, but being in person for what kind of went down with that that whole strike three call in the last inning?
Obviously, we have a pitch clock, right? So the rule is that a hitter has to be alert and ready at 8 seconds. That allows the pitcher to start his motion. The pitch prior to that, it was a 2-2 count, and Joey threw a slider in the dirt. Kid didn't swing. Got by Antonio a little bit, so Joey had kind of walked all the way to home plate to catch the ball to get it back. When Antonio threw it back to Joey and he had the ball, the umpire started the clock. So Joey basically had to walk all the way back to the mound, go around the mound to toe the rubber, and the hitter was kind of waiting for Joey. So he wasn't even in the box and ready to hit. So Joey stepped up on the mound, and the hitter wasn't in the box yet, and that clock had started when he first caught it. So you see it. I mean, Joey's looking at Antonio saying, go, go, go. Like, he saw the clock ticking down.
Yeah.
And when they show that and he kind of starts his motion, I mean, the pitch clock is at 4. So the umpire called time because he said Joey started his motion without the hitter looking at him. And it's like, yeah, he had to. There was only 3 seconds left on the clock. The hitter should have been alert at 8. So the umpire doesn't see the pitch clock behind him, the home plate umpire. So he calls time because Joey didn't have the hitter didn't have his eyes up. But the field umpire came in and said, that's a hitter clock violation. They weren't ready at 8 seconds. So if when that happens, that's a strike.
Watching at home, I saw Cordero start to point and Holcraft was pointing at something and I was like, what is happening? And then ultimately, so okay, now that makes sense. Thank you for painting the picture for everybody did not know.
So basically the field umpire said he wasn't ready at 8 seconds. That's a strike. That's strike three, two outs.
Yeah.
And it's a big one. I mean, you know,
the pitch was also right down the middle. Like, it was going to be strike three regardless. Yeah. It was a big timeout.
You know, it's bases loaded, one out.
Yeah.
So sack fly ties the game. Mm-hmm. So to get that and then, you know, the next hitter with two outs puts one to the wall, you know.
And Connor, like, was like, it was in right field, right? Connor was, like, kind of dancing around. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, because it was hit hard. I mean, I think on a no-win day, that ball probably gets out of the ballpark, but. You know, the wind was blowing in pretty good. That's why the score was down a little bit. But, yeah, you know, crazy way to end it. But we'll take the 3 games. I mean, that's a really good program. They're a really good team. I think everybody in the A-Town was a little shocked. But, yeah, great weekend for Joey. 2 saves, 3 innings, no runs, couple home runs, 8 RBIs. Sounds like A-10 player of the week type of stuff. But for some reason, he didn't get it, which is baffling to me, but
I'm upset.
It's discouraging. Like, how do you have it is what it is.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
All right, let's talk about the Niagara game. You guys, you know, a 4-run seventh inning kind of ties the game at 4. You guys had agreed to only play, I believe it was 10 innings.
Yeah, these midweek games, obviously the weekends are really important to both programs. You know, you get in these midweek games and you don't want to get in a situation where you've used your pitching that you've allotted for the game, and you're throwing a position player down the bullpen to get loose. Nobody really wants that for a midweek game. And you also don't want to spend, you know, 16 innings at a field on a Tuesday. They don't have lights. I mean, the sun was starting to set. So we kind of talked about it before the game, kind of making it a 10-inning limit along with the 10-run rule. So we talked about it before the game, and Coach thought it was, he agreed to it. There's another program that we do it with as well, Binghamton, who likes that policy. So we kind of talked about it before the game. And I don't know that we would have been able to play a full inning anyways. You know, the sun was starting to set. It was starting to get a little darker out there. And we had been there for 3 hours and 45 minutes. So,
yeah,
it was, you know, it was a long game. Unfortunate we couldn't. I told the guys afterwards I was disappointed. You know, we scored 4 runs early and then just kind of put it in cruise control. And got to learn how to finish teams off. You know, you get a lead, got to find ways to tack on runs. And, you know, we missed some opportunities. We tried to get a bunt down, try to, you know, manufacture some runs to add on, and we didn't do the job. So I wasn't real happy with our performance yesterday. And I know that we're going to have to play better to accomplish our mission this weekend. So,
yeah, big time weekend. This might be, I know we said the Davidson weekend was, you know, the biggest series of the year. I think this might be the biggest series of the year. You guys are 3 games out of the, you know, top 7 playoff spot. And the teams above you right now, Rhode Island, have the tiebreaker against George Washington. You have a tiebreaker against. So it's big time, and it's must-win baseball this weekend.
Top 6.
Top 6. Oh, I thought it was top 7.
It used to be.
Okay.
So now it's top 6. So, yeah, I think when you look at the standings, we're 3 games back of being in that top 6. We're in a good situation, though, because the teams that are ahead of us are Dayton, who we play this weekend. If we do what we're – if we want to be in this, then we've got to win this series this weekend. And if we do that, then we hold an advantage over Dayton. Rhode Island is ahead of us by 3 games. We just swept them, so we would have the advantage over them. George Washington is in that. We took the series against them. Fordham is the other team in that mix, and we play them later on this year at home to kind of end our season.
Yeah, last series of the year. So
yeah, I mean, so if we can, you know, package together some of these series and win these series down the stretch, we would hold the advantage over these teams by winning those series. So we're very much in it. I know Davidson was a big weekend to kind of put our name back in the mix. I think coming out of there, you know, it was going to be a struggle. Sweeping Rhode Island at home was not really in the cards for us. I wasn't expecting that. So once we did that, I felt like, man, we're back. We're back in the mix. And, you know, it's good to play meaningful baseball, you know, in April and May. So excited about this weekend. Hope we can pull it off and play our best baseball and, you know, continue that excitement around the program.
Yeah, a lot of excitement. I mean, you got guys clicking on all cylinders. Castro and Fernandez both batting .329. Holcraft still sitting there, .283. Calipretti's up to .261. He's really had a drastic improvement in the pitching side of things. I mean, you have, you know, quite a few pitchers under with an ERA under 5, which, you know, I think you mentioned multiple times that would be the team leader compared to last year's team.
Yeah, I mean, we're 4th in the conference in pitching right now as a team, so it's been a drastic improvement. We were last year, so that's a huge improvement in the staff. And guys, I think at the plate are starting to get hot. If we could just, you know, I wish our defense was better. I think that's the part that's been holding us back a little bit. But, yeah, pitching's been really good throughout the year. Hitting's starting to heat up a little bit. Again, and I think a lot of it is just the ability to play at home helps a lot.
Yeah. Well, Coach, best of luck this weekend. Let's go win another series. This one's big. Keep that success at home going. And we will talk to you guys next week on the Baseball Rundown. Have a great week, everybody.